Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on? I'm your boy, Timmy Two Times.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rachel.
Hey, I'm Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
What's up, Mr. Solly Soul?
So today, we're going to be discussing the issue of commitment. Why do we hesitate sometimes? Also, an interesting update on the Parkland officer who stayed outside during the school shooting from last year. Scott Peterson is facing 11 criminal charges for his inactions. And I say it's about time. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is quickly making enemies on all sides.
She's an idiot.
This week, she sided with conservatives by taking a stance against New York's decision to place Paul Manafort on solitary confinement in Rikers Island. And finally, we'll talk about YouTube's continuing efforts to silence conservatives, hashtag VoxAdpocalypse, as tons of content creators have been demonetized for what YouTube has deemed hate speech.
It is in a thin line.
Oh yeah. It's 1984 and the Thought Police are now in full riot gear. Can someone hand Rachel the hammer already?
Oh, okay. Shoot.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh.
The 1984
yes.
video?
Yes.
Yes. Apple. All right. I'm your host, Saul, and this is The Salty Show. All right. What's going on, Rachel?
Oh, my goodness.
In the Crazy Ray Chronicles, give us what you got.
Alrighty. So, I'm going to start this one off with a rather fun one. Southwestern Rail is investigating after a worker broadcast porn to giggling passengers.
Was it only the giggling passengers?
Say this one more time. What happened?
Southwestern Rail, which is like, I think it's in London.
What do they do?
Subway.
Oh, okay.
They're investigating after a worker broadcast porn, like through the speakers.
Audio.
Oh, just
yeah,
the sound.
The audio
oh,
of it.
Okay, okay. All right.
So they were left bemused after what sounded like audio from a pornographic film was broadcast on a train's loudspeaker system.
Are you kidding me right now?
Nice. So a guy basically was started.
Exactly. No. What is going on?
So he was videotaping like the travelers like laughing because they're just hearing like the sounds of women having sex.
Oh. So was this on the train itself or on the platform?
It was on the train.
On the train.
So the guy wrote, and of course this is like British talk, so I'm gonna probably sound horrible saying this.
Okay, say it.
My tube driver.
I like the accent.
My tube driver casually watching porn whilst leaving the tannoy system on. What's a tannoy? I'm assuming tannoy is like recording.
No idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know. It's all weird British speak.
It's called English.
Jesus Christ.
So one of the women in the video is heard asking, is that coming from the driver? And amidst the confusion, people are like, wait, no, it's somebody's phone. Turns out it was thankfully not one of the train drivers, but somebody was enjoying the commute to work.
What the f-
That's
funny.
I want to be on that train.
So it wasn't the driver, but it was like somebody that was still, it was still going through the loudspeaker. They have Southwestern Railway has since apologized for the incident and said that the operator was being investigated.
Oh no, dude! So there was this prank video. I don't know if you guys saw it. These guys in college campuses, what they would do is they would have their laptop, but they're just pranking people around them. They go into a library. It's all quiet, and they put their headphones on, and then he starts playing like porn. And, you know, you can hear it. He has a full blast and he's pretending like he's listening, right, to porn
yes.
while watching. And people around him are like, what the heck? Because you hear the sounds of, you know,
right. I've never seen porn.
Well, you're talking about. And people around him are like, don't know how to tell him you need to put your headphones on. And somebody eventually comes over like, sir, put your headphones are on. And he's like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed.
Oh my God.
And he just runs out and people are like looking at him like, oh man, that's embarrassing. But it's a prank. You got to see this.
Would you really go over and be like, oh, your headphones aren't on, sir? You can continue what you're doing, but.
I know. No, sir, please leave.
Yeah, I'd be like,
get that stuff out of here. Get your filth out of here.
I would probably just like stand behind him like all creepily and just stare.
Ooh, she would join him.
Make it awkward.
Like, hey, can we split the headset right now?
Yeah.
Can you get that on a bigger screen?
Do you have a splitter?
You look that way. Look that way.
Or you know how couples like they share the headphones like that? That's what you'd be like.
Yeah. The song's about I'll us.
And that was your song.
Yeah, you know. Alrighty, so the next one that I'm going to do is metal thieves steal 56-ton, 23-meter rail bridge in Russia.
Can you do it in a Russian accent?
Oh, my God.
I don't know Russian accents. I can try. No. Wait, how do they go?
No.
I don't know.
No.
You speak like a Russian.
In Soviet Russia.
In Soviet Russia.
Metal thieves steal an entire bridge.
That's not even close. So
I'm not good at accents.
In Mother Russia, you don't steal a bridge. A bridge steals you.
I don't think they talk like that either.
How do they talk?
Not like that.
You do it.
Then. Think of Ivan Drago.
How does he do it?
Dies, he dies.
Oh, yes. That's right.
I will break him.
I must break you.
Okay, anyway, back to your...
So, the theft of a 56-ton bridge has prompted a criminal investigation in Russia's Arctic region.
Wait a minute. They stole a whole bridge?
A whole bridge.
Whoa.
So... an entire bridge. And the footage of it is insane. Like, it's just gone. So aerial footage circulated on Russian social media in late May showed that the two opposing sections of the bridge were intact, but the central span had mysteriously disappeared. It took place at a long dismantled bridge over the, Umba River near the abandoned settlement of Oktyabrskaya. Wow, you said it right.
The key is to have confidence and say it quickly.
I know, right?
With your eyes closed.
In the Arctic region of Murmanskaya.
There you go.
That didn't sound good.
You're
Murmanskaya.
Fine.
What are you saying?
I'm having a seizure. I'm sorry.
Okay, anyway.
Murmanskaya. I think it's Murmanskaya.
That is funny.
Which borders with Finland. The residents realized only days after the theft took place, which I'm shocked that they only put only. You would think that if you lived there, you would know it was if a bridge was gone pretty soon.
So did they take the half the bridge or the whole bridge?
Like, so there's only the two ends. So they took the entire middle section.
How do you not realize? First of all.
For days.
Well, it's...
That's impressive.
It's, you know, it's in the Arctic. I'm sure it's snowed in a lot up there.
You're right, it's probably not. But I mean, there's not a lot of snow. In the pictures.
I don't know.
Привет, Nastrovia. Nastrovia.
So I guess photos dating May 16th were circulating on Russian social network. Oh God. They have their own social network. Vonkatank-T?
Okay.
Jesus Christ, why have I been trying?
You're butchering it.
It's VK. I'm going to go with VK. At the central span of the bridge had fallen into the water, and an aerial photo was taken just 10 days later. There was no trace of the section of or any debris. So they were like, natural phenomena could not bring down the bridge. Even if you bring in an icebreaker when it's strange that the lower road bridge nearby wasn't knocked over. That's odd. What's an icebreaker?
Are there big boats that they use to break up the ice?
Oh, I gotcha.
I know what you're talking about.
They could have used that for the Titanic.
No. You don't take out icebergs.
I failed on that one, guys.
It's all good. We all do it. You know. So police initially dismissed the claims of the thief, but this isn't the first time that a bridge has been stolen in Russia around the same area. So in 2008, Russian police hunted scrap metal thieves who stole an even larger 200-ton metal bridge in a nighttime raid. Like, who? What the?
Well, you know how some people steal, like, traffic signs? These guys steal bridges.
I've done that before.
It's like when they break into abandoned houses and steal the copper out of the walls, like the wiring and everything. It's just scrap metal.
Okay, but I'm inside a house. Nobody could see me. This is like a fucking bridge.
You're out in the middle of Siberia. No one can see
this
you.
This is a bridge.
Well,
that makes a lot of noise.
Apparently this is the second time they've done it. So.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
So then it says, who cares, commented the VK page. This isn't Germany, and restoring order to the vandalized landscape is not high on the agenda. Yeah. Ooh, whoa. Huh. Startling. Concerning. That's crazy.
The lackadaisical approach of the Russians.
Well, yeah, who cares?
They're trying to take over the world again.
Not without a bridge, they won't.
Yeah, I mean, they can't make it to, Finland?
Finland.
Fenway is in Boston. That's where the Red Sox
play. They can't make it to Fenway either.
Oh, wow.
I don't know, man. It's been a long day.
You're pretty.
No. All right, so this last one's probably my favorite one. Kentucky man forced Amazon driver to rake his driveway at gunpoint.
Nice. Why didn't I think of that? Wait, what? Those bastards are at my house all the time. They could do some yard work.
Right?
That's terrible.
So a 63-year-old Kentucky man was arrested after he allegedly pulled a gun on an Amazon delivery driver and ordered him to rake his driveway.
What?
What's the logic behind that? I don't get it.
So the Amazon driver drove into his driveway and parked in the driveway to go drop off the package. So when the guy saw this, Kenneth Vance, he was like, oh, hell no, you messed up my leaves. So then he pulled out a gun and was like, handed him a rake, and he was like, you need to put this back to the way it was, basically.
Yeah. Wait. If he doesn't have a leaf blower, it might have taken him hours,
I'm confused. What happened? Did he have them already piled up and the guy knocked them over?
It says nothing. It says, let's see.
I'm so lost.
Like, that's the only reason that I would, you know, if you had been raking up all that stuff and then he just comes in and moves it all and then you're
blows
like,
it over.
It's gravel. Like, it wasn't even like leaves.
A gravel driveway?
Yes, I had a gravel driveway and he stepped out and he handed him a rake and he told the driver, who had not been identified, so like he doesn't really want to come out, to smooth out the gravel driveway, which had been disturbed by his van. The driver cooperated and was allowed to leave the property. And then he called 911 afterwards.
Yeah. The guy just made you rake his leaves.
He was charged with wanton endangerment.
Wanted endangerment.
Is that what it is? Wanton?
Yeah, wanton.
What does that mean?
What's wanton?
I don't know.
Let's look it up.
Should we Google it? Get to work.
I don't know the exact definition.
First of all, where do you find like a wanton disregard these articles?
Deliberate and unprovoked.
Where did you find this?
I mean, I do work. I'm not giving away my
your sources.
Her research. Yeah.
One is from a radio station, from iHeartRadio. They're the ones that reported
that
it.
That is crazy. That's funny.
Some of this shit, like, just doesn't seem real.
Yeah. Well, I always choose, like, reliable sources. Like, I never really go with, like, aliensarereal.com.
Can't use CNN. Yeah. Fake news.
Anal probing. .com. Ooh, wait, what?
Oh, wow. You got that
those,
up and running now?
Conspiracies.
The best.
We've heard you talk
came
about
out
it.
Real, you know, you were real slow in that delivery. Yeah. Anal probing?
Anal.
And you looked at me in the probing? Eyes like, why'd you make like contact with me? God damn it.
He's asking you a question. Probing. He's asking if you want to.
Ooh.
Okay, stop.
I am a little backed up today.
You're nasty.
No, you're not. You're lying about this. You're disgusting. Fake news.
I got to do the jiggle to get it going.
You are fake news.
Anyway, are we done with the weird stuff?
Okay. Take it away to your serious stuff.
I know. We're so boring, aren't we? Like, we got to talk about some serious stuff now. Like, oh my God.
Oh my
OMG.
God.
First of all, I want to, you know, say happy D-Day. It's a very important day in history. If this day probably didn't happen, we would all be speaking German. Farfenugen.
999.
Lassus Eistossen.
What does that mean again?
Prost.
Como?
Como dice?
Yeah, como se dice? Prost. Cheers.
To not speak in German.
Yeah.
Folks.
Anyway, so I just want to, you know, give a shout out to that for all the people that laid their lives on the line so that we can have our freedom. Moment of silence.
Definitely. It's good to remember.
All right. And we're back.
Wow.
I like that.
You like that?
That
right?
was That's 10 whole minutes.
Hey.
Nothing screams successful podcast like a moment of silence.
You know that I could just put it.
Yeah, just do it for 10 minutes.
That's why I did that, because I was like,
everybody's like, wow, this is a 2-hour podcast this time. What happened?
That's how we fill up time, guys. That's how we do it.
We just always have moment of silence.
Magic is in the edit.
All right. Anyway, let's get to the news. All right, Jeremy, you posted a topic today, so,
yeah, so
take it away.
I don't know how many of you remember, but February 2018, there was a school shooting in Parkland, Florida.
Yep.
And one of the big things that came out of that particular incident was that the school resource officer, the police officer that's job is to stop these shootings, basically stood outside and waited for backup and did not help while or did not go into it, confront the shooter.
Did you watch the video of him? Have you guys seen the video?
I saw it just briefly, actually, because it was like playing when I pulled up the article. And he literally hops in a golf cart and drives away.
So just press play. Oh, well, there's a video.
Okay. Well, so anyways, there's eyewitness reports.
You know, I can pause it, right? And okay, just but just watch it, just the way you know. I'm telling you. No, I'm serious. You got to watch it because when I saw that and you just see his actions, dude, it just makes your blood boil.
Yeah.
Because
it'd be one thing if he was like waiting out. Like, I don't know. Like,
is it embedded or is it just a link?
It's embedded. It's like right at the top. The link you sent. It's right there. It's the first. Let me see if I can find
it.
Oh,
there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just watch it. And it tells you like how much time went by, because obviously they're not going to play the whole thing. But it tells you like 11 minutes went by, 20 minutes went by. Okay. And the guy is just like literally just like doing this shit, you know, like.
Yeah, this. Well, yeah,
you know what I mean? Like he was scared. But my thing. Okay.
Man, he is too old.
We all don't know how we would react in certain situations. Look, I'm not going to come here and say, I would. You know what I mean? Exactly.
He was trained in active shooters.
And he's getting
paid
for that. Yes. You know, and I think that's where the anger comes in. But it doesn't just end there, because if he would have not done it himself, and let's say he was scared and he's like, dude, I don't get paid enough for this. I'm not doing it, right? I got a family. Man, I don't want to deal with
the job.
Okay, but let's just say there. That's him. But the fact, and I think this is why he's being charged, he gave orders to other law enforcement officers to not intervene. And that, in my opinion, that's wrong. Yeah. Yes.
He gave an order to keep a 500 feet perimeter.
Yeah. And so
why is he in charge of this? He's just a freaking.
Because he's the leader in the school.
The school resource officer. They call them SROs.
Yeah. But I thought they only ever had one.
He did. He was the only one. But when the other police showed up, his backup, whatever you want to call it, apparently he told them, stay back.
Because normally they want SWAT to do that, but that's like kind of going out the window these days.
There wasn't originally training for police officers to handle these situations, so a lot of the times, like
these
like
resource
with Columbine,
officers are trained for
this.
That.
Yeah, this so, is what they're. That's why they're in
you know,
there.
I think he would have had a case to defend himself, because he could have said, look, I stayed back, and maybe it would have been covered under, you know,
waiting for backup.
Exactly, or even when the cops got there. And he could have said, look, I was coordinating this, and people would have bought it. Oh, yeah, you're coordinating the efforts to the rescue. But I think the fact that he held everybody else who could have intervened back borders on evil.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's wrong. You're hearing gunshots.
I don't think it's necessarily evil. I think it's scared. He was scared.
But why stop everybody else? And I think so look, the charges he's being that are brought up are very serious.
Up. Right. So Deputy Scott Peterson.
Rough name.
He's 56 years old. Basically, he's facing 11 charges of neglect of children, culpable negligence, and perjury, and being booked into the Broward County Jail with a bond of $102,000.
Also, not to sound horrible, but why is a police officer 56 years old? Usually, they retire at 50 or 55 as a standard, because you can't.
If you got on the job late,
what's a 56 year old gonna do when?
The thing is, he got a cake job at a school. Where what are the odds of this happening there?
He's got a point. So here's the
thing. Well, the thing is, he was armed and he had a weapon. And a gun is the great equalizer.
How hard is it to overpower a 56 year old man? And also,
if he has a gun, really, you know what I mean? Like he had. Again, like I said, a gun is the greatest equalizer to anybody, because a 70-year-old woman with a gun can stop a 24-year-old big, you know what I'm saying? And he had that power in his hand and he didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
And I think that, like you just read, whatever he's charged with, the negligence, he should. Now, one of the things that I think about, though, right, is are we opening up a Pandora's box of litigation when we allow this? Because apparently this is unprecedented, right?
Yeah, this is a New York Times article, and they say the charges were an unusual incident of law enforcement officers being held criminally liable for not protecting the public. Yeah, so this is a very rare situation.
Officers. Yeah, normally it's civil. Normally they do the civil suits, but this one, because
when it's a civil suit, they sue the police department, not the officer, right?
Right.
The officer
so,
is right. A...
Jeremy, you know, I know maybe... When I called him, when I said his actions are evil, I don't think he went in and thinking this, but something held him back. Something in his mind was telling him, don't do this. You know what I mean? And what was that? What was that? Why would he not intervene? Well,
the first thing that comes to my mind is fear, right?
Right.
He's running into a situation where someone has another gun. It's like, you know, who in this room would run into that situation voluntarily?
Right. I mean, when you think about it, though, like, he stopped the other police officers.
That's weird.
It's odd because it's like you would think like, oh, well, these other police officers have families. But it's like at the same time, these are all young kids that have lives to live. You know what I mean? Like more of a life than
protect.
If I'm 56, I would rather go in and even if I die like unadmirably, at least I tried, you know, like
now he's going to live the rest of his life because if he goes to jail,
that's such a hard burden to bear as it is. Nevertheless, going to jail.
And then, they hate cops in jail. I really liked, I wanted to call my buddy who's a cop just to see what he thought about it. Cause I don't know. I'm curious what other cops feel about this. Right. Cause I mean, your dad was, you know, retired.
My entire family.
Yeah. So yes, you are trained for situations, but if you've never been in that situation, you know, and having to pull your gun, you know, nonetheless, this situation of a whole school shooting, right? What goes through your mind, right? Like, is this guy really wrong? Is he right? Like, well, I would like to know
like,
what other
like
cops.
Jeremy said, or you said, I think, Rachel, is cops should be held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
And I, now going back as to why he didn't act or why didn't he take action? One of the things that I was thinking, well, maybe he didn't feel like the pay was worth it. And if
I don't think that's why.
Let me just finish my thought now. Okay, because we all agree some officers are not paid well.
No.
And I'm one of those that I feel like before we have all these other social programs for people, I believe that the thin blue line, they put their lives on the line, they put their lives at risk. And I think that they should be compensated for that. And I don't want a police officer in a situation where he has to think about, is this worth it? I don't want him to worry about that. I want him to react. And I'm not saying that that's what went through his mind, but those are topics that I think we should have because police officers should be paid a better wage, in my opinion.
Well, they get a – I don't think the pay is the thing. It's the retirement. It depends on where they're at, right?
It does.
A lot of, like, California is in a lot of financial trouble because of their like the fire department, the police department, their retirement programs.
Yeah.
Pensions.
They're basically, they're paying these
they're
people
overloading
full,
the system.
They're paying them full and sometimes even more than full pay when they retire. And it's just like, well, you can't, that's not sustainable, right? And if this is a case where Peterson is... Rachel says, he's 56 years old. Normally they retire around 50. Mm-hmm. So why did he stay? Because he got a cush job at a high school where the odds of this happening are one in, a million and a half.
He got a certification, probably got a bump in pay. But
he did the training. He got the bump in pay. He's extending his retirement.
But it's not even a bump in pay be an officer at a school. So it's about the same.
So check this out. He lied. So you gotta look at the last charge.
Yeah, perjury. What did he do?
He lied about how the whole thing went down. So when they pieced the video all together, that's what got them. That's what they were like, oh, he really was negligent. Yeah. Right? Because he said he ran outside after he heard the first two bullets or something like that. He totally gave up this whole fabricated story. And then when they put the video together, they were like, oh. Yeah. Okay.
Well, he said he didn't hear some gun. Apparently, what he said is he didn't hear the continuing gunshots.
Right, he heard the first two, and that was it.
But there were some witnesses who said, no, I was with you, and we heard everything else.
And there was another kid that said he was in the third floor of the school, literally looking down at him, doing nothing.
Yeah, he had his gun drawn, just standing there.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a fine line. Without ever being in the situation or... I've never talked to the guy to be like, why didn't you respond? Like, I don't know what went through his mind. Well, he froze maybe. Who knows?
Who knows that? I mean, is there for sure a standard practice that every officer at a school needs to know how to handle a mass shooting? I thought that was like very, like within the last like couple of months that they started doing that. Even no, I know in Phoenix it was.
We've had high school shootings since Columbine.
That but they didn't have a protocol until very recently. But it wasn't standard practice to train 15 people.
15 years, I think. Right. I mean, they've been training these officers.
They haven't been training
been
them
training.
Since then.
Well, they should have been.
No, they it's just recently that they're. I think after the Vegas one, which I'm not. It was probably around this time that they decided, like, well, we should probably start training all officers to handle this, because before it used to be you sit there and you hold the scene until SWAT comes, and then SWAT goes in and handles it. That's why Columbine ended up killing so many people, because police officers were just standing there waiting for SWAT to come.
So I guess that brings up an interesting question. What?
I'm going to say he didn't knock it.
What's the...
Well, they said he had active shooter training. So
the average response,
if he had active shooter training, then he should have...
No, that's why this is a big deal.
What to do.
Yeah, he had. So, he was fully trained. That's why this is a much bigger deal, is that he was in there, had the training... And then he
also what to do.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what
and
the,
I mean, it, I don't know. I still think, like, I think 55 is like the standard of like when police, because I mean, you can't have a 60-year-old, even if you have a gun, like it's him versus two or three people.
Right.
Somebody's going to take him down and take the gun.
In theory, he's got 40 years worth of training, 30 years worth of training on how to handle the gun, how to take these situations and to stand outside and do nothing about it. You know, apparently that is now a, you know, go to jail offense.
Yeah, but also, I mean, what if he went in there and he shot the wrong kid at the same time? Like, how many times are police officers, like, reprimanded for... But, I mean, he would be put in jail for that, for sure, you know?
No, I don't
like,
think so.
Or the
not,
same
not
as,
if
like...
He's, not if he's putting his life at risk.
How many times do you, like, grab... Like, when you have a gun and then you see a kid and he goes to grab his cell phone and then you mess up and shoot him, you know? Like, what if he went in there and did that and he just wasn't comfortable enough to go in? I don't think that him telling the police to not come in is okay.
Right. If, he
if
wasn't,
you're not
if
brave
he
enough to go, it's fine.
If he with that scenario, he shouldn't have been there.
Absolutely.
Right. Exactly.
But yeah, here's but you, shouldn't, think, you should try to have a good idea as to what you're going to do before you get a job. Yeah, same as, like, if I... worked and I was like, I don't really feel comfortable drawing people's blood. Why am I gonna go and do what
get,
I do?
You get woozy drawing blood.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the job that you agreed to do.
Exactly.
And let's face it, these are, like I said, there are one in a million chance that this is gonna happen at your school.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, is it a problem? I mean, who knows what would happen at other high schools? Is this a problem where you have police officers who aren't really going to protect your kids in your school just because they're running the odds of, well, this is a one in a million chance. This isn't going to happen in my school.
Well,
I'm going to take this cushy job.
But this
for the
can
next
go further than
years.
Just a school. So this is why, this is why this could be a slippery, this could be a slippery slope, because now
everybody needs
the minute something happens and like, oh, you didn't respond. Everybody's going to jail and getting,
or you over-responded.
Or not. Let's just say you didn't respond adequately.
Right.
Right. And that, and that's why I said, I think we may be opening up a Pandora's box here by us pursuing this. But at the same time, if you look at that video, I think that's very clear that this guy,
he
I guess, I don't know if it applies, but it was, it's a dereliction of duty. Basically you, you did not do what you were.
It's like a doctor breaking Hippocratic oath.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
So it could even be down to the fact that by him having active shooter training and not doing what he's supposed to do, that could be one of the reasons why they got him on criminal. Besides the perjury part, the perjury he was going to get caught up.
Perjury
in
is perjury,
but the rest of it might be possibly could be because he's trained and he didn't do anything that he was trained. It's like, you know, we go, you know how everybody could take a test and pass it, and then
you know,
then just suck at the job.
I read a theory, and this is speculation. Don't
that he was part in on it.
No. But I there were some. When I researched the story, there was some people speculating that he was given orders to not intervene, and maybe they're now he's a scapegoat basically for this, and that those orders weren't his.
Oh.
He was given those orders.
By
yes,
whom?
Somebody higher. But now the reason
in previous conversations,
like
somebody
a dispatcher,
somebody higher above him. And the only reason I'm saying this is because if you look at, and this happens in San Francisco, whenever there's riots, when Antifa and all that stuff, the cops are told, do not intervene. Don't do anything to stop this. There's whether it's from the mayor or somebody who gives a direct order, and now he's caught up in all this mess. Now, I don't know. It's speculation, but it was a theory that I read online. That feels that he's being used as a scapegoat for something that but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean everything's speculation, but the video is the video, and
I mean that's also it's playing to like almost like the Nazis, as horrible as it sounds. Like, are you going to do what they tell you to do if you think it's wrong or not? Or right. are you going to act on what you think are the best morals? So, like, right. are you going to do what your boss tells you to, even though it's like you would prefer to go in and try to help somebody, versus are you going to just listen to whatever your superior tells you?
Right.
Either way, right. it's probably you, not a great trait to have in a police officer.
During the trial of a lot of those, a lot of the Nazis,
was it Nuremberg?
Nuremberg trials. Mm-hmm. Yes. A lot of them used that defense, mm-hmm. but they were still found guilty because I think I'm paraphrasing here, but they said that we all have a conscience.
Yeah.
And there is a law above.
Yeah.
Above anything else. You look it up. What actually they were charged with. And it goes to that statement that you made where they're like, we're just following orders.
Crimes against humanity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So they're saying, oh, we just followed orders, but they're like, no.
But still.
There is something that goes beyond.
Killing a soldier decency. Is
exactly.
different than.
Killing somebody who's in the line of war, you know, those are the rules of engagement. But when you do it on somebody innocent, because these guys were.
When you're trying to wipe out a whole.
Genocide. Race.
Yeah, race yeah. of yeah. people. That goes beyond,
yeah.
you know, act of war. That is, yeah. That's just right. yeah, immoral.
And you know what they were saying, and we got into the conversation, but when Hitler realized that they were losing, he decided to continue the killing of Jews.
Yeah.
It went up.
He was trying to expedite it.
Yeah. yeah.
He didn't say, oh, let me get my resources and, yeah. you know, rethink this. He was like, no, let's try to finish this as quickly as
Buckle
you can.
Down,
and that's
basically.
How you know. Exactly. And that's why, you know, you have people when they were freed from those concentration camps, there were still people, soldiers there freaking, you know what I mean? Like in some places giving yeah. up because they were told you're going to stay there until the end. Instead of saying, you know what, we're about to lose this. Let's just worry about, you know.
Yeah. It's like, I expect you to fight until you're dead.
Exactly.
And a lot of them are like, no. right. I'm just going to stand by at this point.
The Japanese did that too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's what we're celebrating today, you know, because, you know, the Allied forces, they landed in Normandy and in the beaches of France yeah. and liberated Europe. So
yeah.
that's something to celebrate.
The French always wind up getting taken over. You haven't noticed that? Like, you look at all the French are like the weakest people. Like, they like every war, you always got to bail out the French. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's amazing. I think that even happened in World War I, they got taken over by Germany.
Well, but right now they're fighting, man. Yeah. Right now the French are
it's crazy, man.
Who are they fighting?
Oh, they're protesting in the streets. I don't know if you've
seen they're okay. I thought you meant like in a war they were fighting something.
It's about to be a civil war.
They might have a civil war, yeah.
Civil war is about to break out almost everywhere, it seems.
People are rejecting this whole multiculturalism, man. They're rejecting this whole, you know, because all these European countries, they took an influx of all these people who are outside Europe, and they're realizing that they're not assimilating to the society that you have, and Europe is dying.
They're not interested in becoming a part of the solution.
Right.
Yeah, they don't want to be part of the ecosystem. They want, everything to be their world.
Right. They're fleeing their countries.
Yeah.
And as they're fleeing their countries, they're bringing their same ideologies that ruined their countries. And anyway, I know we've gone way off on a tangent.
Yeah, who cares? But that's what this show is. We don't got to talk about Ed Box Apocalypse. Show. You know what I mean? If we go down this road, that's what this show is about. It doesn't always have to be. It's not scripted. Right. This is really, to me, whatever. We can go on and on about this one. But
this stuff right now. What YouTube just did, they demonetize a lot of people who are taking a stand against this.
So can you explain the whole movement, how it's, you know, like, you know, the premise of it?
Yeah, so
not everybody knows.
Okay, so there's a lot. Okay, right now conservatives dominate the internet. There's a common knowledge among the internet mm-hmm. that the left does not know how to meme. They're not funny. Why? They're not. They're just not because
they get
offended by everything, right?
And so if you throw a meme that's funny
that makes fun of something, they're like, well, that's insensitive, and that's not funny. They're devoid of humor, dude.
Yeah.
And where did it happen? Look, and I know we talked about Germany and the Nazis, but it happened there. You think the Germans were happy when they were, you know, they were angry. They were like, you know, they're devoid of humor, and when humor dies. That's the beginning of a tyranny. And so right now, the conservatives have dominated the internet. And the reason that they dominate the internet is because every other medium of news right now, when a news story comes out, it has a leftist slant to it. And so conservatives look at CNN, that we look at the news and we're like, Jesus, man, these guys are like completely, they've gone full left. And so we're looking for, exactly, and we're looking for something outside of that. Conservatives, and so they go to the internet and we research and say, okay, boom. And that's why the internet's dominated. You go to YouTube, you go to Twitter, go to any leftist news and just read the comments. And you're going to find just they're being bombarded by people who are just basically trolling them, telling them, you guys are, you know, crazy. This is fake news. This is all that. So here comes YouTube. And because one guy from Vox, and Vox is a leftist news organization that is gets money from, I don't know what like organization.
CBS.
Like one of the
millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. Okay. Now, they're not happy with the competition because here's Steven Crowder, a conservative comedian. Who comes out and he basically does a video where he point by point says this guy, this is where he's wrong. Now, the guy in Vox, Carlos Meza or something like that, he's a gay Mexican. And so when Crowder refers to him, he calls him a gay Mexican. It's hilarious. It's funny. Right. But here's the thing is that he himself calls himself a queer Mexican.
Okay.
The guy, his handle is queer something. You know what I mean? Like, so he calls himself this, right? And so that's what Steven Crowder, when he addresses him, he's like the gay Mexican. Oh, dude, this guy got mad. And he makes a compilation video of Steven Crowder doing this. And he's basically tells YouTube, are you going to censor this man who's full of hate? Right. And so now YouTube was faced with a choice now because Steven Crowder has 3 point some million subscribers. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of followers.
Yeah.
Okay. Vox has 6 million or something followers. Okay. So
and that's
he's
a whole
got
entity.
A big pool. Wow. Right. Exactly. And that's a news organization, dude. So Steven Crowder, who's doing this from his home, probably kind of like what we're doing, has that many followers. Meanwhile, Vox has a staff of 100 and some people who are being paid to create a show. And Crowder's able to basically challenge this guy and do all this. Anyway, so here comes YouTube, and YouTube reviews this, right? YouTube replies to this guy on Twitter and tells him, we're looking into it. So Steven Crowder is like, what do you mean you're going to review this? What's there to review? Is this a platform for free speech or not?
Yeah.
So then here comes YouTube, and YouTube instead, they said, we're not going to deplatform Crowder, but what we're going to do is we're going to demonetize him. So basically, Crowder, with all his followers, he can't make money now on YouTube. But they didn't just do it on him. They did it on everybody. They did a whole blanket on a ton of conservatives and said they demonetize them. And anybody who makes jokes about a certain gender or certain...
What about the left? What about the fucking left?
Exactly.
When they spew their fucking hate on everybody. No, I'm sorry, man. This shit has got me heated. Because you know what? When you read Twitter and you go through everything, the people that are the most hateful people are these left-wing pieces of shit.
Right.
All they do is spew hate. If you say, hey, I disagree, they want to say you're ugly, you're fat. You post a pic, they are the meanest fucking people. And they're supposed to be anti-bullies. They're the biggest fucking bullies
and
trolls.
Even this guy, Carlos Meza is his name, apparently.
Yeah.
This guy, he called on all his followers to go and search for conservatives and throw milkshakes on them.
Yeah.
What?
So yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
this guy is actively calling on violence on people who he disagrees with, and YouTube does nothing for that. That's an actual call
for
violence. And meanwhile, Crowder has never done anything that he makes fun of the guy. But the guy gets offended and he's like, I don't like being made fun of. And he tells YouTube, and YouTube is like,
that's the only thing they have. That's the only thing they have.
So here's the thing. And again, the question comes down to right now, YouTube just did that. Okay. Here's what's going to happen. People are going to leave in droves as soon as you demonetize it. But here's the thing, and there's an underlying argument that the guy who did this, Fox, VOX, the news organization who's doing this, they're saying that because of the old giants of news media, they're dying. And so what's the new media? Is YouTube. they weren't necessarily targeting Steven Crowder because of his opinions. They're targeting the online community because these old media giants want to remain in power. Mm-hmm. And when YouTube goes and demonetizes these people, here are these content creators who are now left without a reason to they're going to leave in droves.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And so right now YouTube shot itself in the foot. And it's just a matter of time.
Dude. I hope it does. I'm fucking now. Even them, they would do the same thing.
No, because they could go through Twitch.
Silicon Valley is full. That's what I'm saying. They've bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
The northern part of California, and that's where the tech companies are.
Seattle. Yeah.
They've bought it hook, line, and sinker.
And look at their areas. Look at it.
Yeah.
Look
shitting at, on the
street. They have shit on the street. But you know.
So how long do you think until? So I guess looking at it, Crowder has a good following. He can just start his own website and stream it all without YouTube.
Right.
He doesn't need
YouTube. The problem with the website is obviously ads. You don't have the same pool as mm-hmm. YouTube does, right? Because everybody goes to YouTube now
to search anything that they want to research.
What the way that conservatives have been able to get around it was through what was it, like third party
Vimeo?
Like places where you can collect money and your subscribers can support you.
Oh, the like GoFundMe.
Things like that. Exactly. Almost. Well, no, it's like we're
tipping.
Exactly. But now these organizations, again, based in Silicon Valley, are now removing those people who they don't agree with. Look, here's the deal.
Like
Jordan
Patreon.
Peterson. You know who Jordan Peterson is?
Yeah.
So Jordan, Patreon, exactly. Mm-hmm. Patreon removed some of people who are conservative because they were like, well, we don't agree with your politics and therefore we're going to remove you from what, and this is these guys' livelihood. And so Jordan Peterson joined forces with, I want to say, Dave Rubin, who is a liberal podcaster, and they're going to create a new platform that's very similar to Patreon. Yeah. And so a lot of conservatives are exactly.
So because, he's doing this with a liberal person.
Yeah, but well, he's more libertarian.
Rubin, okay. Yeah, Rubin kind of he had a it's not to get off track, but had a conversation with who was it? He has his own radio show. Oh my God, I can't believe Larry Elder.
Yeah.
So he sat down and there's you can find it on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Basically, Rubin invited Larry out to his show. And Larry, basically, Rubin said, you know, well, what do you feel about this racism? And Elder's like, there is no racism. What are you talking about? Blah, blah. And he goes through all these examples, and Rubin's just standing there like, And at the end, and you can actually hear stories of Rubin saying, after I listened to him explain what was really going on and how I was being lied to by all these different media outlets, he switched. He's now. I don't know if you'd call him a conservative now.
No, but he calls himself now. He's moving towards libertarianism. Okay, is what he said.
But basically, mm-hmm. there's go to YouTube and you can see. You know, type in Larry Elder, Rubin, and he'll tell you. He's like, this man came on my show and changed completely the way I
think. Didn't Morgan Freeman do the same thing where he
Morgan
came
Freeman
out and
was a quick little hit.
But he did basically the same thing where he
said,
like,
exactly. He said, just stop talking about it.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Which is so true. You give power to racists when you put a spotlight on them. And for me, honestly, that's what they're doing, because if racism, institutionalized racism, was so overt, we would see it everywhere. If everybody around me is racist, they're pretty good at hiding it. But isn't that what I want? I don't care what's in Jeremy's heart. If Jeremy treats me decent, if he's a decent human being towards me, I could care less if Jeremy thinks that I'm less of a man because of my skin color. I don't care. I care about his actions, the way he acts. He could have in his mind, he could have the most racist thing. He is German. He could have the most racist thoughts in his mind.
Ooh, that was a little prejudice on your ass.
No. But you know, exactly. But you know what I'm saying, right? For me, and that's why we need to look at people's outward actions.
Yeah.
But here's the thought police. I'm going to call them thought police, right? They're looking for what you're thinking, right? And that's what they're trying to change. Anyways, so that's what they're looking for, right? They're looking for what is in your heart. And I don't care what's in your heart. I care how you act.
Right.
And that's what should be important.
So think about this. That video we saw about that, you know, the Trump rally, you know, the Trump rally on the street in LA.
Yes.
Dude gets out of the car.
Big dude, man.
Big dude. Stops the car in the middle of the street with his kids in there. Gets out and starts trying to barrel his way through and pick a fight with everybody. Yeah. Screaming and hollering. He's putting
spitting
his
on them.
He literally went to this girl, right? This Latina girl had a Trump hat on. He literally went right in her face. And they didn't. They did not fight back. And they got it all on video.
Yeah,
and
let me. I'm actually going to show you guys this video. That way you guys can see. Because this, it makes my blood boil, dude. When I see this kind of action, look at this guy, dude. And so obviously these guys are, you know, supporting Trump. And this guy gets off his car. That's his car over here. And he gets off and he decides that he's going to insult everybody around him.
Look at him. He looks like he wants to kill someone.
Illegally parked.
Yeah, that's...
Because you ain't going to do shit.
Hey, guess what?
Why you so mad?
Ass bitch. Fuck you and that nigga.
What the fuck? You just spit in a woman's face, bro? You just spit in a woman's face? This guy's crazy.
Hold this, girl.
This guy's crazy.
What?
This guy's crazy. Yeah, you just spit on a woman. This Trump had a guy just spit on a woman. This guy's crazy. This guy's insane. Look at his face. He's fucking crazy. What do you want, sir? What do you want, sir?
But see, this is a thing that Maxine Waters calls on. He says, you see them out in the streets, you challenge them, you confront them, you humiliate them. This guy's following exactly what Maxine Waters.
There you go. I'm right. Shocked they did this in L.A., man. I'm shocked.
Throw his ass in handcuffs.
And look at his kids.
His kids are like, oh, my God, I can't believe.
The great example. Great example.
Yeah. You're setting a great example for your kids, asshole.
Yeah, go spit on females. Yeah, that's a great example.
Yeah.
So he says, treat women with respect. You go spit on one.
And,
okay,
yeah. So this happens shortly after, you know, all this blew up, you know, with you know, these news organizations calling out conservatives and saying they're full of hate, they're full of racism. Meanwhile, you don't see this. Have you been to a Trump rally?
No.
I've been to many Trump rallies. I never see any racism.
But did you see the look in that guy's face? Sorry. Did you see the look in that guy's face?
Yeah,
he wanted to kill someone.
Right.
He was waiting for someone to take a swing, and he was going to bury somebody.
Right.
He was going to screw somebody up.
But he feels justified because of what is predominantly out there today, which is, oh, a Trump supporter? Oh, they're full of hate.
Huh?
What can you do to somebody who's full of hate? So what can you do to a racist? Because they look at Trump supporters as Nazis. And they're like, oh, I'm the German in 1945 who looks at a Nazi, and I'm gonna punch that Nazi in the face. That's what they've convinced themselves of what they're doing.
They're on the right side.
Meanwhile, you don't see any of this. Google it. Google Trump supporter punches Bernie Sanders supporters. It's never you don't find that.
What happened to you when we were at the bar that one time? Oh, exactly. That girl literally got in your face, screaming at you in English and Spanish, saying you're basically a letdown to your people.
Right.
And every point he was making to the girl, you know, and he's like, there's so, he goes, you have no idea how many Latinas are actually going to vote for Trump. And she's like, no, F that, you're a sellout.
The girl that guy spit on was a Latina.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, and those are the people who have the courage to stand out there with that hat.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a 6 foot tall motherfucker who's going to spit on you. You know what I mean? Like, those people are brave, in my opinion. Meanwhile, there's a silent majority, like I said, you know, because I know when we watch the debates, and I don't know if there's something that you want to disclose, but I know you're a Trump supporter, right? But you're not overt about it. In other words, when we go, I'm the one who wears my MAGA hat. Well, I'm the one who is very vocal about it.
Because you can't.
But I know that there are a lot of people who support this guy who don't say anything. And I believe me, the way that the left is going, more radical and the more shit that you see like this of people doing that, people get mad. And they're like, nah, I don't
like
this.
When people see that, and if you were like, nah, I don't care, but you see a guy like that go spit on these people, and then you see that they didn't respond back. A, you could say, okay, you didn't stick up for someone. You guys are, you know, wusses. But you realize
No, we see. We've learned this.
Oh, the news
would only show the part where the guy's getting beat up.
Yeah,
they wouldn't show everything that led up to that.
Exactly.
So you don't trust the news,
right?
And the only thing that you can do is shed light on these people's actions at what they're doing.
Yeah, I get it. It's just, this is where we live in, man. You have to. Cops now are using people's phone because that's what the cop said. He goes, who's got the video? And it's kind of, it's like, are you kidding me now? We live in a world that this is what it comes down to. Your evidence is everybody's filming. right? So I'm like,
yeah, they were there.
I hear you.
That's the upside to well, yeah. the you know, I mean, I know we're saying goodbye to privacy, but at the same time, this allows for us to be able to, you know, shed light on the actions of people who are
sometimes a camera can get you in trouble.
Mm-hmm. What?
Recording somebody and putting you on Snapchat.
Really?
What?
What were you doing?
Me?
What,
I got somebody in trouble?
Yeah, me.
What's a snap hack?
How? I don't remember
this. I'll explain to you later. Yeah, I'll explain to you later.
I don't put anything on Snapchat.
We got some
you did about two years ago. Yeah, I'll explain it to you.
Oh, let it go. Jesus, that was two years ago.
No. Oh, yeah, that was 2 years ago. Get over it.
Actually, it was a year ago. But
whatever.
Yes,
we'll have haven't used it in over a year.
No, you have. Thank but years. Anyway, we'll have this conversation after, but then I'll explain it to you.
All right. What's the next topic? I know we wanted to talk about...
I have a feeling this is one that Tim brought up.
Commit. Oh, yeah.
I have a feeling...
Tim's topic. Commitment.
I know this one.
Yeah. So
elaborate on what the commitment and how you want to approach this.
So the other day... I'm talking to a friend and we're having a couple of drinks and we're sitting there and we're talking and you know, she asked, you know, how our trip went, whatnot, and oh my god, everything was good. I said, hey, by the way, I said, how's it going?
Are we talking about Rachel?
No.
Oh.
No,
excuse me.
No, I already said I'm not gonna bring up names to the person, right? Rachel. You were with me. So Nelson was with me. I mean, this actually could probably be Rachel too.
I think it is Rachel.
You know what I mean?
But go ahead. Let's.
But anyway,
I'm being attacked.
No, you're not being attacked. So I'm talking to the girl and I said, "Hey, how's it going with you know, the guy that you've been talking to?" She's like, "Oh my god, I'm obsessed with them." So
obsessed.
So I'm like,
that's scary.
No. So I'm like, what does that mean? And she's like, you know, obsessed. She's like, you're not a girl. You don't understand what that means. I said, obsessed doesn't mean a good, like, obsessed
is not a good thing.
Wait, hold on. Is it just me or is that an incredibly sexist remark? Because I'm a man, I don't know
what
the word obsessed means.
Okay, but anyway. All right, let's not get into that part. So I ask her, so I'm like, so what do you mean by obsessed? And she's like, well, you know, we have a lot in common and all that. But meanwhile, I'm like, something doesn't seem right here. And she's trying to say all this. And then I'm like, but that's not obsessed. I'm like, so does that mean I'm like, do you want to be with this person? And she's like, nah. But I'm like, you're obsessed with them. You just said that, oh my God, I'd fucking marry that guy probably. You know what I mean? And I'm like, okay, so that means you like him, but why don't you want to be with them? And she's like, nah. And I'm like, this makes no sense. Right. And so I started actually asking other females in the bar, right? I said, let me ask you a question. What does it mean, the word obsessed with a guy? And they were like, crazy psychotic. And I was like,
yeah, that's what I thought too.
And I'm like, that was most of the answer. Yeah. And then as we were talking and, you know, then Nelson chimed in with some of the things he said.
I don't remember this conversation.
She backtracked and we started laughing. I said, there you go. I said, the word sounds good. But when you start actually getting poked and prodded.
Now I remember. Okay, so, hey.
Yeah.
What? Okay, yeah, no. So this is what...
But, and I'm trying to be generalize it because I don't want to, you know.
So I think modern age, we use vocabulary very...
Yes.
Nonchalant. Loosely, you know what I mean? Loosely, yeah. Exactly. We don't mean a lot of the things that we say. And when I... Because, for example, somebody asked me, Nelson, Nelson, how you doing? Amazing. You know, am I really doing amazing? You know what I mean?
Can you really answer that when you're not doing amazing?
Mm-hmm. No, but
you're
for
lying,
me.
Sack of shit.
This whole time you thought it was amazing. No, but what I'm saying is that you say that as a way to say I'm doing great or I'm doing okay or it's just another day. I mean, nothing amazing has happened, but I say amazing. And so I think maybe that's how she may have used it. She may have said I'm obsessed, meaning I like the guy. He's pretty cool. But, you know, but saying obsessed, like you said, it has a connotation of, Jesus, you're going batshit
She's
crazy
hiding
for this
in
guy.
The tree, yeah. Like watching exactly. him through the window.
So that brings me to the question. Like, yeah, basically. There are a lot of... Look, there's a lot of females out there in today's world that will say the same thing. Oh, I really like the guy. He's got his shit together. He's got a good job. We have things in common. He, you know, hits the right spot.
But it always has a butt.
But they're like, I just, I don't know what it is. I just don't want to be in a relationship. And I'm like, wait a minute. you're doing every, this guy's doing everything for you. I'm like, so what is it? So please explain this, because I know you've been in this boat once or twice, right?
Explain it, Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel, get on this. Come on.
No. So
why don't you commit?
No, why won't you commit to me?
No, because you've gotten that before, haven't you?
Yeah, I met absolutely.
You
5 minutes.
You've gotten that before. So what is it?
This is deep, though.
Well, what is it? Oh, man. If I'm being, so I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm going to put this, I'm speaking for myself. I am a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to certain things.
Like what?
So personality.
Okay.
The biggest thing that I'm perfectionist with, where I'm like, are they boring? Do they get along with me? Mm. Do they do things that I like to do? Do they like different things? Like, it's mostly personality traits, but I'm a perfectionist with it. And it's hard to break that thought of like, you can't, like, you're never going to have your exactly perfect dream guy ever. Same as like guys are never going to have like a chick that's a 10 and
weird science
fucking
stop.
Yeah.
So you're saying you have the curse of the pursuit of something better. The grass is greener on the other side.
Not necessarily.
Then what?
It's, I don't know. Like, I'm sure you guys have probably experienced this thing, but
you can do
where,
better.
No, not necessarily that, but it's like this person is literally the perfect person in the world, but for whatever reason, you just don't feel that
he's the
love one. At all. Like, where you're like, this person is everything that I could possibly imagine, yes, that I would ever want, but for whatever reason, yep, my heart is telling me no.
So you're not getting a connection.
Yeah.
So that, either that connection would imply to me that the checklist that you're going off of isn't really what you want.
Absolutely. So it takes time to figure it out. Well, no, yeah, absolutely. But it takes time to figure that out. You have to date multiple people to figure out like, well, I like this about somebody, or I like this, or this is something that I need. And then you can kind of compile based off of experience. So like, you go on a couple of dates with somebody and you're like, oh, that person, like, I don't know, sticks his tongue out too much.
Jesus.
Weird. Awkward.
Well,
deal breaker.
Can I? Okay. I'm going to try to lay out my thoughts, and they're going to be a little bit scattered. But
like this?
Absolutely.
But hear me out here. Okay. So, I don't even know where to start here, but let's start with this one. There are certain cultures that today still practice, what is that called?
Arranged marriage.
Arranged marriage.
I actually talked to a patient today that
listen,
had it.
And in the job, the nature of the work that we do, we encounter a lot of people who yeah, do that. Indian yeah, culture still does that.
Absolutely.
And a lot of those people are very happy.
Absolutely.
In the relationships that they're in. Now, these people, this is the first person that they made a connection with, and they found a way. And so, look, there's got to be some wisdom behind that. I'm absolutely not advocating for that completely. And I think what happens, especially in the Western culture, is that we've bought the illusion that Hollywood has sold us. And just hear me out here, okay? Just as much as porn can be detrimental to men because porn presents a woman who is mm-hmm, not a real woman. It presents this to men because it tells men she wants sex all the time. She's always available and she never complains. And you know what I mean? And yeah, you're the best thing on earth.
Do whatever,
okay,
you want.
Now,
whatever.
Now, is that woman realistic? Dude, the chances of finding that girl are slim to none. Now, what yeah, is the equivalent of that for
romantic
a woman?
Romantic comedies.
What is the exactly? Rom-coms, romance movies, Hollywood has painted an unfair and unrealistic man to a woman. And what's that man? That man's going to know what to say, what to do at all times.
Read her mind.
Yeah.
And that man does not exist. I'm sorry. That man does not exist. And so I feel Western culture, we have done something that has now, and that's why I say we have created an unrealistic person in our minds that yeah, we feel that we're going to match. Let me give you this example. I dated a girl, and this is a true story. I told Tim when this happened, and I dated a girl who on paper, I mean, she's the perfect girl for me, man. I'm telling you. And we've had yeah, this conversation, and like you, Rachel, I found myself in a situation where I didn't feel that love, whatever that mm-hmm, is, that emotional connection. And I said, you know, I could do better. You know, I'm being completely honest with you, right? And I was like, I don't have that connection. Maybe I'm going to find that with somebody. Not realizing that maybe if I would have dedicated the time and put in the effort,
yeah,
that this person
that it could happen,
could have, right. And so I remember I had a conversation with her when we were towards the end of it. And I told her, look, you're, guys don't know how to break up. I did not know how to break it up with this girl. And I told her, look, here's the deal. You're perfect for me in every way, but I'd be lying to you if I told you that I felt love for you.
Yeah.
Because I, and this is what I said, because today you could go out and sleep with anybody and I wouldn't feel anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel anything.
Yeah.
And so I convinced myself in that moment that I was like, maybe I don't love this girl. And maybe I don't. And maybe she's not for me. But what I'm saying is that if maybe I would have gave it a chance, maybe those feelings could have built. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I don't come at approach this conversation from a standpoint of how it is.
You ever think about this?
Go.
When everybody meets that checklist, like, hey, they got this, this, and this. It's boring. There's no spice to it.
What's the balance? The balance is you
have to be different. You if you're too alike and it meets everything you want, it sounds good. But
Tim, what do you tell the cultures? What do you tell people who are in arranged marriages who are in happy relationships? What do you tell them?
They don't know. They're different. Well, they don't have the same.
I wouldn't say that. I would say there's something reassuring in somebody telling you that this is going to be the best thing for you. So nowadays in relationships, you can meet somebody and they're perfect, but there's no real reassurance as to like, am I making the right decision? Is this the right person?
You made it. You touched on something that's very important. And I think the reason it works in those cultures is because most of the time they won't meet their partner until their family has met them first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so obviously your family has your best interest at heart, right? They're not going to set you. I'm just saying, listen to me.
They want some cows.
Oh my God. No, the dowry.
But those are bad parents.
Right? Back in the day, that's how it was done.
A good parent, but let's just hear me out. Today, I'm talking about today. Most of the time, these parents, they have the best interest for you. They're not going to set you up with somebody who they feel that there's not going to take care of you. Like I said, I've had conversations with them, and they said they have like a whole interview thing where like, well, what does he do? You see what I'm saying? They ask these important questions that normally when you are in a relationship and you just have infatuation, you don't go through those checklists in your mind.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you marry this person because your feelings told you to marry them. And then later on, when the important things came that you got to check off, you're like, fuck, this person does nothing. You see what I'm saying? Like, no. But what I'm saying is that I agree with you. There's got to be a balance, right? I don't want arranged marriage for myself. But at the same time, I think there's some wisdom there that I think Western culture has rejected because we know better. Because history, we can't learn from it. You understand what I'm saying?
No, 100%. Anyways, well, even in Western culture, it used to be like that. Not arranged, but it was kind of like, you know, it almost was kind of arranged, right? Where it's like families would, hey, I got a daughter, you got a son. Let's try to, you know, introduce them and kind of not force them, but, you know, convince them like this is actually good for you. You know what I mean? But then as time went on, it did change.
Yeah.
It did change, right? You can even see it in the way the movies, your Hollywood movies.
Jeremy's not agreeing. I thought you were going to say something.
I'm looking back and forth.
So, I mean, it kind of was like that back in the day. It's just that you didn't always, you didn't have the dowry. You know, hey, we're going to arrange
That's
this
and I'll give
you.
That's what's called
the dowry system. Yeah, I'll give you, you know, 20 cows for your daughter. You know what I mean? But, hey, I'm not saying no system is right or wrong. It's just I think now we're just at a point where there's too many options, especially, you know, for men and female. And I feel like it's kind of reversed, right? You know, a female has more options than she ever has before, right? A guy has it too, but it's up to the female now. You know what I mean? More, you know, on the selection process, right? Like you go to all these sites, you got.
And we all know females don't know what they want. Who said that?
You know what?
Is that the wind?
No, here's the deal. A lot of females have admitted, you know, I know what I want. But what they want is they're with the complete opposite of what, oh, I want somebody that,
no,
that
my has a shit. I know what I want, but it's not the first two choices that you gave me. For sure, it's not going to be the first two choices. Where are we going to go eat?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Terry, you got a story about this. Go ahead.
Yeah, what'd you?
Nothing.
Well, there was that guy that had created the restaurant that was called whatever you want. Whatever. Yeah. You
know, wherever.
Yeah, wherever. Yeah. He created a restaurant called Wherever. Because every time he talked to his wife, you know, every female, like, where do you want to go? Wherever.
I don't know.
You know, and oh, man, that guy's a genius.
Yeah.
That guy's a genius. Even down to now, remember about a year ago, I told you when we were talking about like even with social media starting to get a little bit more censored and everything, I said, dude, so I got the billion-dollar idea. I said, we should create our own freaking social media for conservatives. Mm. You know what I mean? And now with everything happened, that would be a that'd be a $100 billion idea.
There you go.
You know, it's like, hey, come do on, it. Say whatever you want, and done. I
capitalism.
Don't know.
Oh, there's a website out there, minds.com. You guys should actually check it out. I joined it.
Mine?
We hit all three of them, guys.
Yeah, we hit all three, but, you know.
All right. Thank you all for joining us on this
Wait.
What?
We forgot Alejandro.
Unfortunately, he gave her more credit this week than he should have, but it was because she agreed with...
Yeah, we'll skip it. Yeah.
She agreed with conservatives,
that
so...
That's enough.
We'll talk about her next time. That's actually a great topic to have, but unfortunately, Alexandria, we don't have time for you.
She's a good bartender, though.
All right, folks. Thank you for joining us. Find us on the social medias that are trying to ban us.
What?
You wish.
And we'll see you all next time.
Deuces.
Adios.
Enjoy your week.